Welcome to Come Follow Me, Mental Health Insights with Dr. David Morgan. Each week we'll review a concept from the Come Follow Me lesson and talk about applications to improve our mental and emotional health. Hi, welcome to episode 25 of season 2. This week we are studying Luke chapter 22 and John chapter 18. Now we're getting down to the last day or so of the Savior's mortal life, and some of the most important things in his life were accomplished right there at the very end. In the Last Supper, the Savior instituted the ordinance of the sacrament, found in Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Now, to the best of my understanding, the ordinance of the sacrament is somewhat unique among other gospel ordinances, and here are some of the reasons that I think make it so. Number one, it's regularly scheduled. Most other ordinances only occur once, like baptism or confirmation or temple ordinances we do for ourselves. We just do those once in our life, but the sacrament we're invited to partake of every week. Number two, we do the sacrament for ourselves, for our own behalf, over and over. Most other ordinances, some temple ordinances we can repeat, but they're done by proxy for others. We don't do them for ourselves over and over. And number three, we do not do the sacrament on behalf of others. There's no proxy ordinance of sacrament. And so it's always done for ourselves, or like the blessing of the sick or something like that. Those are things that are done for others, but not for ourselves. So the sacrament is not something we can do on behalf of others. So I think those things make it kind of unique in terms of the ordinances that we are asked to complete as we follow the covenant path. In our modern day sacrament, the prayer on the bread indicates a portion of the promise that we make to Heavenly Father as we partake. It says that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son. I've always found it interesting that we are just being asked to be willing. Probably because our Heavenly Father knows that there is a difference between being willing to do something and always following through with our promise. Now, I think he expects us to try our hardest to take upon ourselves the name of Jesus Christ and to do the things that he would do. But that is a tall ask, no question about it. Now, just being willing to do something or having a desire to do it is critical in making forward progress. In mental health terms, we call this readiness for change. Oftentimes I get the question, how can I help my son or my daughter or my friend or my spouse to understand that they need counseling and to go get counseling because they really need it? And the bottom line is we can't force other people to do that. And even more than that, we don't want to. Even if you could, you wouldn't want to. And I'll tell you why. I'm reminded of a talk by Brother Brad Wilcox, His Grace is Sufficient, where he related the story of a young man who needed to change, was on a bad path. So they said, well, let's get him to EFY and he'll have an amazing change experience there. So they get the young man to EFY and he immediately wants to leave. It's just not his jam at all. Change doesn't work very well unless we choose to do it. Now, if you want someone else to change, then you need to start thinking about the ways that you can change and start doing that. Anytime we introduce change into a system, things start to become a little different. We can't control the change in others, but we can control the change in ourselves. And when we change, sometimes that does encourage change on behalf of others. Being willing to address our own mental health and emotional issues is a critical part in change. And my suggestion is that we do what we can to change and then let others make their own choices from there. Now, in John chapter 18 is one of my favorite events from the Savior's life. It's often overlooked, but to me, it represents the raw power that the Savior has to change and influence our lives. Starting in verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, "Whom seek ye?" And they answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then he asked again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Now this mob of people comes to arrest Jesus. They are armed and he is not. And I imagine that these people were probably skilled at doing this. Perhaps they made a living of arresting others, like our modern day police. And once Jesus is identified, instead of moving forward and taking him into custody, as they had probably done hundreds of times with other criminals, they immediately retreated and fell to the ground. Now Jesus asks again who they are after, and they respond, and they finally develop the courage to take this unarmed man into custody. Now to me, this underscores the Savior's magnificence and power. Even armed guards were taken aback by his unassuming but powerful statement of who he was. Now, what does this have to do with mental health? Many, many times, people who languish with mental health issues start to develop feelings of despair and hopelessness. They've struggled with their issues for a long time, oftentimes making little progress, and they start to believe that they're never going to change. And then that belief breeds feelings of hopelessness. But when we truly understand the reach and magnitude of the Savior's power, we understand that there is nothing that he cannot heal. That new understanding, that new belief, can counteract feelings of hopelessness and despair and replace them with feelings of faith and encouragement. In the April 2023 General Conference, President Russell M. Nelson taught, I plead with you to come unto the Savior so that he can heal you. He will heal you from sin as you repent. He will heal you from sadness and fear. He will heal you from the wounds of this world. Now, I think that that absolutely applies to mental health issues. And as we take our anxieties and our depressions and other issues to the Savior, he can heal us. Now, he can heal us in many different ways. He can heal us miraculously, as he has done in Scripture, such as when he touches the eyes of blind people and they immediately see, or he immediately heals the lepers. Or he can heal us in more mundane ways, perhaps through helping us find a good counselor, or perhaps by helping us change our thoughts, or perhaps by strengthening us to do the work required to better manage our mental and emotional challenges. Now, in my experience, when the Savior steps in to help, he usually uses that second method, which involves plenty of work on our part and loving assistance on his part. And I invite you to not shy away from that work, because through that process, not only will we eventually conquer over the mental and emotional issue that we're trying to deal with, but we will become more like the Savior in the process. We will develop characteristics that make us more like him, and which is the ultimate goal. And I think that we will be forever grateful for every difficult step that the Savior has asked us to take along the path of discipleship. Now, I always end my podcast episodes with an invitation to act. And I invite you to give prayerful consideration to which of these invitations might be good for you to do, which ones kind of fit with your current life circumstance. So today's invitation is to think about a distressing situation in your life, and then think about one or two things that you can do to improve that situation. Now, make sure that these are things and behaviors that are completely within your control, not things other people can do to change, but what you can do to change. And then develop a plan of action to try to do these things on a regular basis. Then also track your progress and record how your feelings and thoughts change as a result of the things you've been doing. I do have free worksheets that you can download to help you remember and implement the weekly invitations. And to get these, just sign up for my email newsletter. You can find that link in the show notes. I also invite you to subscribe to the podcast so you can access new episodes each week. And please share this with anyone you think it might be benefit to. And now we've got written transcripts as well of the podcast, and you can find a link for that in the show notes. Thank you for listening. And until next time, this is Dr. David Morgan reminding you that change is possible, but change requires action, and to always keep moving forward. Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more, please visit Dr. Morgan's website at drdavidtmorgan.com.